Welcome to the Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore. It is Tuesday, October the 5th, 2021. On this edition of the Politocrat, what would it take for you to stop using Facebook? Today on Capitol Hill here in the United States, Francis Haugen, a former Facebook project manager and product manager, I should say, testified before the Senate. A whistleblower, she risks everything to expose Facebook for what it is, a toxic piece of garbage, and a lot worse than that. Portions of her testimony, including her full opening statement, coming up right after this. Welcome back. And I hope you're well on this Tuesday, dear listener. It has been, wow, we are just sailing through this year, as I always say, it seems. And October, we are already heading toward the first. I can't believe this. We're almost at the first week completed in October. That's just absolutely unreal. And October began just last Friday. How could it almost be a week already? Anyway, I hope you're well, dear listener, and I hope that this day is going better for you than yesterday did. And if it is, then I'm very happy to hear it. If it isn't, then keep persevering, because things will improve, and hopefully sooner rather than later, as far as you are concerned. So just yesterday, I was here talking about Facebook. Facebook being down, Facebook being out of action, Instagram being out of action. Now, both of those companies are owned by Mark Zuckerberg. Facebook owns Facebook, Zuckerberg owns Facebook, and Facebook owns Instagram. In fact, Facebook also owns WhatsApp. And by the way, WhatsApp also was down yesterday. And there you go. I mean, I said this yesterday. This is like a utilities company with a power outage and down for hours. Except the only difference is that you're not paying for Facebook, although I think Facebook and Twitter has no connection in terms of ownership to Facebook, but I think both of them are starting or have started sub-content or sub-areas, if you will, for lack of a better terminology, where they are charging people for some of the content. Twitter Now, I think, is called Twitter Now, and then I think there's something in Facebook that's called something or whatever, and they're charging. Anyway, look, I don't want to talk about Twitter because this is about Facebook again. Facebook's a piece of garbage. Twitter has lots of problems. Lord knows it. Lord knows it's true. I've been on Twitter for God knows how many years now. And Twitter just has all kinds of problems. It really does. And it's slow to react and change the problems into solutions. It's just ridiculous what Twitter does. But Facebook is a gutter pit. And Facebook and Twitter definitely, look, Twitter, we know it has a lot of problems. Facebook is a piece of garbage. And should anyone be shocked at Mark Zuckerberg being a piece of garbage? Listen, this guy was like this for years. When he was running around at Harvard, when he was being a misogynistic pig, as he continues to be, quite frankly. I don't care that he's married. It has nothing to do with it. So what if he's married and he has kids? That means you can't be a misogynistic pig? Oh, please. You know, I don't want to hear it. And here's the other thing. When you walk around in San Francisco, there's actually a freaking hospital named out with this guy's friggin' name on it. Seriously, you think I'm joking? It used to be called San Francisco General Hospital. I remember because I once was admitted to that hospital. That's why I remember. Years ago. Before his stinking name was slapped on the blooming thing. Now it's called Zuckerberg General Hospital. So in other words, the hospital took money from Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook to have his dirty ass name slapped on the front of it. Zuckerberg General? Are you kidding? This guy's responsible for more people ending their own lives than anybody else. And the irony is not lost on me, dear listener, that his stinking name will be put on the side of a freaking hospital where you're supposed to try to save lives. And his very brand is focused on taking lives with the filth that comes out of that platform. Is absolute filth. Comes out of that platform. And yeah, anything for money. So San Francisco General Hospital has taken God knows how many millions from Facebook and from Mark Zuckerberg, slapped his name on the side of the blooming building. It's atrocious. Zuckerberg General. Oh my God, so now he owns the hospital. His name's on it. Stink. What is that? Oh, we need the funds, so we'll take it from this toxic piece of garbage. And that's the thing, isn't it? You need the money, you're so, whatever, desperate, hard up, I don't know. So you take it from that piece of garbage. Knowing that this guy has been directly or indirectly responsible for the many, many people across this planet who have taken their lives because of this piece of garbage Instagram. And listen, I'll tell you right now, full disclosure, I'm on Instagram. I've just stopped going on there as much as I used to. That's the way I deal with it. And I may eventually just completely withdraw from that platform. Because Facebook, I don't even use. And I think I'm going to do that too, because what's the point? What's the point? Because as long as you're on there, even if you don't take part in this stuff, you are complicit in it. As far as I'm concerned, I'm complicit in it. If I've got a Facebook account, knowing what I know about Facebook, I'm complicit. Of course I am. And I fight against this crap every day. But if I've got an account on there, I'm part of the issue. I'm part of the problem. Seriously. I think anybody who has a Facebook account is part of this. Even if they're very much against what Facebook promotes and Mark Zuckerberg promotes. But you have chosen to put your content on his platform. So you're telling the world that you have no problem doing that. So there's really no distinction. Even if you don't like him, why are you putting your content on his platform? I really should take the content I have up there off on principle. I know, I think it's hard as hell to supposedly delete an account off of there, but Facebook is just disgusting. I mean, there's been domestic violence videos put on there. There's been videos of, it's despicable. So I just want to start with that. You know, Facebook is garbage. It's not done anything to lower all of this violence. It doesn't take these poisonous, toxic, lying-ass Republican ads off its platform. Doesn't do any of that. It allows people like the piece of garbage who was in office here in the United States for the last 4 years to keep spreading his filth and lies and gaslight. It allows these racist ass groups to put their filth all over the place. These Proud Boys and all these other garbage people throwing their filth all over the place. Facebook never regulated their ass. Facebook contributed to the Brexit mess, the disaster, along with Cambridge Analytica. The two of them teamed up. Zuckerberg at the center of it, and Cambridge Analytica and all the rest of these people. Filthy. Filthy. What they're doing is mercenary. They're like friggin' thugs. They're thugs. All they do is thuggery. These are like hired assassins. I mean, this is a fascist company, as far as I'm concerned. It's disgusting. You can't have this. And then, you know, I talked to you yesterday, dear listener, about the report in the New York Times, I think it was, or the Wall Street Journal, whichever one of them, report on the fact that Zuckerberg and Facebook were fully aware of all the damage that Instagram is doing to girls. Not like they were, how, and that's not really, to me, that's not even a revelation, really. I mean, it was painted like one about three weeks or so ago when that article came out in the Journal of the Times. I forget which paper. It could have been the Journal, might have been the Times. But it's not like that was a real revelation, because we'd known for years that Facebook, and especially Instagram, had been the most evil thing, particularly for girls. Because all of these pictures, many of them doctored, many of them photoshopped, many of them deep faked, if you will, had these women on there looking impossibly thin. I mean, I've only ever seen in my life in person 5 women like that. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding you. And one of them was just yesterday. Seriously, the 5th of them walking down the street. This just absolutely and this is the thing that has hurt the self-esteem, crushed the self-esteem out of so many girls and women. It's just disgusting what they're doing. It's a complete remapping of our brains, this Facebook, this Instagram. And I know that you're on it. I know that you have an account. I do, right? I have 2 different accounts on there, one for sports, one for personal. And like I say, I've really, the amount of posts have gone down drastically. I have really, and I'm really contemplating just quitting the thing, honestly. Because there's no use. I don't want to be. If I'm someone who claims that I care, then what am I doing with Facebook account? Or what am I doing with an Instagram account? And these are the things that hurt girls. These are the things that promote violence against women. So no, I don't want anything to do with that platform. And what's it going to take for me or you or anyone else to say goodbye to that platform? I mean, did you miss Facebook for the 5 hours that it was down? That's what I found out from this hearing. That it was down for, I could care less about Facebook. I mean, really, seriously, they can get rid of my account for all I care. Why don't you suspend that one instead of the Twitter account you suspended 2 years ago or whenever it was? 2 years ago. I would have probably had, anyway, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. It does not. But what does matter is that platform is still here. And it needs to go. Twitter is not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about Facebook. Facebook is so destructive. We have no obligation to police free speech. And, oh, we treat this as political speech. It's like, and this is the stuff that led to this piece of garbage winning, in quotes, an election that he didn't win. That he stole. That the Electoral College handed to him. And that's a whole nother story for another episode of the Electoral College. But this is an absolute disaster. And this platform needs to go. As I said yesterday, I think it needs to be regulated. I think it needs to be totally regulated. This platform is disgusting. It's intrusive. It lies. It doesn't police itself. How can you expect someone like this to police themselves? Oh, please. That's just, I mean, really? It needs to have the hammer put down on it, really. Get rid of it. And WhatsApp is now owned by them. It's been owned by them for a while now. WhatsApp as well? And Instagram? Oh, Jesus. Every time you turn it on, it says, you know, created by Facebook or whatever the heck it says at the bottom of your phone if you look at it on your phone. It's hideous, man. It's hideous. All on this guy's platform. We're all complicit, quite frankly. And we need to just get off that platform and join the fan base platform, the app that Isaac Hayes III has. Social media platform and app. Why don't we join that? It's black owned. Why don't we join it? There's one to join. Get rid of Facebook. Quit Facebook and go and join Isaac Hayes III. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Son of the Isaac Hayes. Yes, him. Isaac Hayes III has this platform. It's called Fanbase, F-A-N-B-A-S-E. It's a social media platform. What are we waiting for? Why don't we just jump on that? It's a whole lot safer than the ones we're using now. That's for damn sure. Hello there, Omar Moore here. And if you haven't shopped at the Politocrat Daily Podcast store, you know, you must do so. Where have you been? The store's been open for a while now. And you can go to the-politocrat.myshopify.com and buy what you see at the store. New merchandise is being added. And I assure you, you will not be disappointed. Just ask the customers who have purchased an item or two or more from the store. The Politocrat Daily Podcast online store. Many satisfied customers, so you can be one too. Join in and buy right now at the-politocrat.myshopify.com. Thank you. Welcome back. So earlier today, Frances Haugen, the former Facebook product manager, testified before the United States Senate. She is a Facebook whistleblower and courageously came forth and really has risked a lot. And quite frankly, I think including her own life. Because Facebook, I think, again, is a gutter. It's a gutter. And I just think the people, a lot of the people in there are just, ugh. I mean, between Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg and some of the other people in that filthy company, it's really horrible, and something's got to be done about them. You know, they come up and testify. Mark Zuckerberg testifies before the House, testifies before the Senate, and he just has the same bland expression every time he comes to the to Capitol Hill. He's just disgusting, and it's the same weaselly-ass answers every time. Nothing new. He is everything that is wrong with this country and this world and this society. I'm telling you, people like this should not be owning multi-billion and multi-trillion dollar companies. These people do not care about you or me or us. What they care about, as James Baldwin once put it, are their safety and their profits. That's what they care about. What they care about is their safety and their profits. And that's all they care about. They don't care about you or me or you or you or us. They care about their safety and their money, their profits. That is what they care about. It really is that simple. So Frances Haugen testified earlier today and made a massive impression here because I think that, look, I think it's one of the more bolder things that has been done. I mean, there have been lots of bold things. There have been lots of people, particularly women, who have put themselves on the line. And it's something that's been done for forever. Black women have done this. You've had some white women doing this, you know, who courageously come and white persons doing this, black persons doing this, coming forward bravely, you know, bravely and risking all kinds of things. I mean, excuse me, a squeaky floor. I remember Edward Snowden a few short years ago, he got vilified. Oh, he's a traitor. You know, it's like, you know, again, and then he exposed all these things. And all the people who were against Edward Snowden were talking about, oh, he's violating national security. And some of these very same people who said all that stuff about Edward Snowden in 2015 were silent. In 2021, when on January 6th, a terrorist attack against the country occurred. You didn't hear a peep out of them. These same people who were all up in arms about, oh, Snowden, oh, he's compromised the security of the United States. And when you have these terrorists invade the United States Capitol building and swing from walls like they're friggin' Spider-Man or some monkey, and then someone within a few moments of taking away all the election results in the country, as it was attempted to be consecrated in an official ceremony to certify the results in the House, I didn't hear any of these people talking about national security being threatened. You don't think that threatens national security? Stealing the election results that have been certified by all these states? That doesn't somehow compromise or endanger the security of the nation? Are you kidding me? Oh, but Edward Snowden. Oh, Edward Snowden. Oh, please. Hey, you know, this is all about a political freaking agenda. A freaking political agenda that some people are all about. And they don't care about anything else. Anyway, let me just, before I just completely, anyway. Let me just get back to Frances Haugen, because I just started with Frances Haugen and talked about people in the United States, including Edward Snowden, including Anita Hill, including Chelsea Manning, include, I can go on and on and on, right? I can go on for forever, right? People who put themselves on the line to expose the truth about how government was functioning, how these billionaire corporations, trillion-dollar corporations were functioning, all these things. You know, just a few weeks ago, you had members of the United States gymnastics team testifying. And this has gone on forever, right? There's all kinds of... And again, I think it's usually women that are the ones who put themselves on the line. People who have come out bravely and courageously against very powerful men. Bill Cosby. Harvey Weinstein. I can go on and on and on and on and on and on. And, on. And so, Frances Haugen continued that long tradition. And I'm just going to play you her nearly 9-minute statement. It goes by pretty quickly. But I think this is really the heart of this episode is what she says here. Because I stand full square with Frances Haugen. And I applaud her for risking it. Risking everything. You know, Jeffrey Wigand, Brown and Williamson. Tobacco, remember? There was a film made on it called The Insider back in 1999. Russell Crowe played Jeffrey Wigand. Jeffrey Wigand back in, I believe, in 1996 and 97. Did an interview with CBS and CBS trashed it. And CBS corporate scrapped the airing of the interview because, oh, we can't let that get ahead of our profits. Remember? Safety and profits, everybody. And so CBS corporate overrode and overruled CBS News. So 60 Minutes couldn't air the bloomin' interview. And then they had to air it bleeped. And then they re-aired the whole thing uncensored. It was a mess. Again, go and watch the movie. If you don't want to go and look at the stuff on YouTube and you're too lazy to do that, go watch The Insider. I don't know if it's on Netflix or whatever it's on. It's on some platform. Or go buy it or rent it or whatever. It's available. It's part of the collection I've got. I think that film's an excellent film. Directed by Michael Mann, it stars Diane Venora, Al Pacino, Russell Crowe. I think in the best work he's ever done on film was that film, The Insider. No, it's not A Beautiful Mind, not his best performance. It's The Insider, really. He is very, very good in that movie. That's the best acting he's done on film. Anyway, all of these people and many, many more have really risked everything. Everything. And have had death threats, all kinds of things to get the truth out to us. And we should care a little about that, right? That people are risking their lives to not only make us safer, but also to enlighten and edify us with what these companies and what these government agencies or governments are doing. It's extremely dangerous. Alexander Vindman, Colonel Vindman, came out at great risk to his own life. Marie Yovanovitch came out, remember, during these impeachment hearings and things 2 years ago, at great risk to their own lives. Are you kidding? At great risk. And many others. So again, it goes on and on and on. It's been a long tradition of this. I call these people heroes. I call them patriots. I know other people call them rats. I don't. I call them heroes. I call them patriots. Because they are willing to risk their own lives to make you more aware of what's going on, and also to make you safer and more knowledgeable, and to stop the practices from continuing that poison the lives of so many. So this was Frances Haugen, the former Facebook product manager, today in the Senate, reading out her opening statement. This is going to be close to 9 minutes. Please listen to this and bear with me. Take it away, Frances Haugen.
Putting our belief Facebook's products harm children, stoke division, and weaken our democracy. The company's leadership knows how to make Facebook and Instagram safer, but won't make the necessary changes because they have put their astronomical profits before people. Congressional action is needed. They won't solve this crisis without your help. Yesterday, we saw Facebook get taken off the internet. I don't know why it went down, but I know that for more than 5 hours, Facebook wasn't used to deepen divides, destabilize democracies, and make young girls and women feel bad about their bodies. It also means that millions of small businesses weren't able to reach potential customers, and countless photos of new babies weren't joyously celebrated by family and friends around the world. I believe in the potential of Facebook. We can have social media we enjoy that connects us without tearing our democracy, putting our children in danger, and sowing ethnic violence around the world. We can do better. I have worked as a product manager at large tech companies since 2006, including Google, Pinterest, Yelp, and Facebook. My job has largely focused on algorithmic products like Google Plus Search, and recommendation systems like the one that powers the Facebook news feed. Having worked on 4 different types of social networks, I understand how complex and nuanced these problems are. However, the choices being made inside of Facebook are disastrous for our children, for our public safety, for our privacy, and for our democracy. And that is why we must demand Facebook make changes. During my time at Facebook, first working as the lead product manager for civic misinformation and later on counter-espionage, I saw Facebook repeatedly encounter conflicts between its own profits and our safety. Facebook consistently resolved these conflicts in favor of its own profits. The result has been more division, more harm, more lies, more threats, and more combat. In some cases, this dangerous online talk has led to actual violence that harms and even kills people. This is not simply a matter of certain social media users being angry or unstable, or about one side being radicalized against the other. It is about Facebook choosing to grow at all costs, becoming an almost $1 trillion company by buying its profits with our safety. During my time at Facebook, I came to realize a devastating truth. Almost no one outside of Facebook knows what happens inside of Facebook. The company intentionally hides vital information from the public, from the US government, and from governments around the world. The documents I have provided to Congress prove that Facebook has repeatedly misled the public about what its own research reveals about the safety of children, the efficacy of its artificial intelligence systems, and its role in spreading divisive and extreme messages. I came forward because I believe that every human being deserves the dignity of the truth. The severity of this crisis demands that we break out of our previous regulatory frames. Facebook wants to trick you into thinking that privacy protections or changes to Section 230 alone will be sufficient. While important, these will not get to the core of the issue, which is that no one truly understands the destructive choices made by Facebook, except Facebook. We can afford nothing less than full transparency. As long as Facebook is operating in the shadows, hiding its research from public scrutiny, it is unaccountable. Until the incentives change, Facebook will not change. Left alone, Facebook will continue to make choices that go against the common good, our common good. When we realized Big Tobacco was hiding the harms it caused, the government took action. When we figured out cars were safer with seatbelts, the government took action. And when our government learned that opioids were taking lives, the government took action. I implore you to do the same here. Today, Facebook shapes our perception of the world by choosing the information we see. Even those who don't use Facebook are impacted by the majority who do. A company with such frightening influence over so many people, over their deepest thoughts, feelings, and behavior, needs real oversight. But Facebook's closed design means it has no real oversight. Only Facebook knows how it personalizes your feed for you. At other large tech companies like Google, any independent researcher can download from the internet the company search results and write papers about what they find. And they do. But Facebook hides behind walls that keeps researchers and regulators from understanding the true dynamics of their system. Facebook will tell you privacy means they can't give you data. This is not true. When tobacco companies claimed that filtered cigarettes were safer for consumers, scientists could independently invalidate these marketing messages and confirm that, in fact, they posed a greater threat to human health. The public cannot do the same with Facebook. We are given no other option than to take their marketing messages on blind faith. Not only does the company hide most of its own data, my disclosure has proved that when Facebook is directly asked questions as important as, how do you impact the health and safety of our children, they mislead and they choose to mislead and misdirect. Facebook has not earned our blind faith. This inability to see into Facebook's actual systems and confirm how they work is communicated and work as and confirm that they work as communicated is like the Department of Transportation regulating cars by only watching them drive down the highway. Today, no regulator has a menu of solutions for how to fix Facebook because Facebook didn't want them to know enough about what's causing the problems. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been need for a whistleblower. How is the public supposed to assess if Facebook is resolving conflicts of interest in a way that is aligned with the public good if the public has no visibility into how Facebook operates? This must change. Facebook wants you to believe that the problems we're talking about are unsolvable. They want you to believe in false choices. They want you to believe that you must choose between a Facebook full of divisive and extreme content or losing one of the most important values our country was founded upon, free speech. That you must choose between public oversight of Facebook's choices and your personal privacy. That to be able to share fun photos of your kids with old friends, you must also be inundated with anger-driven virality. They want you to believe that this is just part of the deal. I am here today to tell you that's not true. These problems are solvable. A safer, free speech respecting, more enjoyable social media is possible. But there's one thing that I hope everyone takes away from these disclosures. It is that Facebook can change, but is clearly not going to do so on its own. My fear is that without action, divisive and extremist behaviors we see today are only the beginning. What we saw in Myanmar and are now seeing in Ethiopia are only the opening chapters of a story so terrifying, no one wants to read the end of it. Congress can change the rules that Facebook plays by and stop the many harms it is now causing. We now know the truth about Facebook's destructive impact. I really appreciate the seriousness which the members of Congress and the Securities and Exchange Commission are approaching these issues. I came forward at great personal risk because I believe we still have time to act. But we must act now. I'm asking you, our elected representatives, to act. Thank you.
So that was Frances Haugen in her opening statement earlier today before the Senate. And I think it was a statement that really did take the cover off of Facebook. Facebook is a very poisonous company. You know, I before I get to the next clip, which will be the last clip I play, if you want to watch this entire hearing, which I think was around 3 hours or so long, don't forget to visit cspan.org and just type in Facebook hearing or type in Frances, F-R-A-N-C-E-S, Haugen, H-A-U-G-E-N, and you should be able to get the hearing in its entirety there. So you can watch it all as it unfolded earlier today. And really, if you have 3 hours, then please, by all means, you can watch. But I only wanted to play the opening statement plus the clip I'm about to play. And before I do play the clip, I just want to say, you know, Facebook, this society has celebrated Facebook. Facebook has been celebrated in movies, the social network. That movie won at least a couple of Oscars, as I remember. Happened, won 4 Oscars, including Best Picture, I think. I think it actually won Best Picture a few years back, 2010 or 11. I mean, our society and our culture celebrates Facebook. You know, I just remember the Academy Awards. Yeah, it won at least 3 or 4 Oscars. Best Picture, it won Best Original, Best Adapted Screenplay, Adam Sorkin. I think David Fincher may have won Best Director for it. So, you know, again, our culture celebrates that piece of garbage company. And it's sickening to me how we seem to forget that just 10 years ago, this culture, this society seemed to love Facebook and love it all. When it was clear, even in the movie, The Social Network even pointed out that this guy was a dick. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg's a piece of garbage. I'm sorry. I mean, I know you don't like me saying piece of garbage when I talk about people. But I just want to convey to you, dear listener, my utter contempt for these people. I don't have any compassion for people who do this, who are toxic like this. And maybe you'll find what I say about them toxic. I'm simply saying that I am not going to sit here and call them such nice people when they're doing this. They're destroying the culture. And they are eroding whatever democracy you think we have. We don't have any. And they are completely desecrating any notion of it, democracy that is, at Facebook, with their poisonous platform. When someone says something bad about Republicans or true about them, Facebook shuts that kind of algorithm off, shuts it down, shuts that post down, or mutes any responses to it. So you don't know what's happened. So it's gone into the memory hole, disappeared. But when someone says something about Democrats that's negative, oh, it's like, oh, you get all kinds of responses. I mean, this is disgusting. Facebook is disgusting. And the society celebrates it. Now it acts as if they don't know. And that's what happens, you know. It's the same thing that we did with Harvey Weinstein. Oh, everybody wanted to make a movie with Harvey Weinstein in the 80s, in the 90s, in the early 2000s. Remember all the Oscars he won? Best Picture for this, Best Picture for that, da-da-da-da-da, away we go. Lord of the Rings Part 3, da-da-da-da-da, and away we go. Won all the Pulp Fiction, did this, did that. That was a Weinstein production, Miramax. That's what the, I mean, come on. And for years, the society championed him. And the Academy people voted for him. Oh, but now. Oh, and now all of a sudden, Yeah, like you guys didn't know who he was. You guys meaning the people in the industry. They knew this guy was a piece of garbage. Rapist. You know? Oh, I didn't know. Oh, if I had known. If I only knew. Oh, I had no idea. Oh, I'm Bob Weinstein and I never had any clue that my brother could do this. Oh, shut up. But you see, this is the kind of garbage you are led to believe. That somehow, this ain't happening. But it is. Oh, yes, it is. And then it's the same thing we do. We do this all the time. We champion these people, and then 10 years later, we act as if we didn't. Bill Cosby, case in point. Right? Everybody knew this guy was a piece of garbage to women. Everybody knew. And I didn't honestly know that at the time. But everybody in the industry, I'm saying, knew. Right? All of the women certainly knew that he did all this to. All these heinous things to. They all knew. And people in power and people in that industry knew. And they all just kept him going. Oh, yeah. Even though now he's out of jail, of course. Nothing to see here. And we all championed him. You know, old Cosby Show and, oh, his albums back in the 60s and 70s and I Spy. Remember I Spy in the late 60s and into the early 70s? I Spy? I think it was 68, 67. I Spy with Robert Culp, he and Bill Cosby. Oh, they championed it. Oh, yeah. And now look at him. It's interesting, the reverse happened with George W. Bush. George W. Bush, vilified and, you know, rightly hated and despised for his 8 years of hell in the White House and what he did on the foreign policy stage in the Middle East. It's just disgusting. Disgusting. And now, oh, all of a sudden, the great First Lady Michelle Obama, oh, giving him candy. Oh, isn't that cute? Oh, the Bushes are our friends, you see. Oh, I have a great relationship with George and with Laura. And oh, they're so delightful. And the kids are on Today Show and Barbara. And oh, is it so lovely? Like these people are war criminals. But let's not talk about that now. Yeah, it's like nothing happened, you know. We have this kind of weirdness when this selective amnesia. Now we forget, some of us, that George W. Bush did all these heinous things and is a war criminal. Oh, but you know, when Michelle Obama gets candies from you or vice versa, whatever, oh my gosh, that means he's got to be a good guy. Because he gave Michelle Obama candies. I mean, they've been friends for years, it turns out. No wonder Obama didn't want George W. to get impeached. Oh, no, we're not doing that. We've got to be forward-looking. Yeah, okay. Yeah, forward-looking, and friggin' Guantanamo is still open. Still, right now, as I speak, Guantanamo is still open. See how we do this to ourselves? Damn, see how we do this? How we do ourselves like this? Right? And we allow these same people to flourish and keep going and not raise any critical questions at all in the main about these people. Oh, no. No, no. And when someone heckled George W. Bush a couple of weeks ago, people were getting a little upset at him. Oh, why did you heckle George W.? What do you mean, why did he heckle him? He should have been heckled. He should have been a citizen's resent. Freaking citizens reset. Can't even talk. Should have been a citizens arrest out for him. Are you kidding? Oh, you know, again, that's how we are. We completely don't care. I mean, some of us care, but you know what I'm saying. It's just shambolic. It's embarrassing, actually. Because anyone can pull wool over your blooming eyes and you just say, oh, okay. Acceptance. I'm not accepting that. Guy murdered over God knows how many hundreds of thousands, near a million Iraqis. Oh boy, you should really go and listen. Here's a song you should listen to. Go and listen to the song Murder by Numbers by The Police. It's off their album Synchronicity. It might be synchronicity too. No, it's synchronicity. But anyway, the title is Murder by Numbers. Listen to that song. There's a line in there that goes, but murder is the sport of the elected. You don't even need to lift a finger on your hand. Because it's murder by numbers, 1, 2, 3. It's as easy to learn as your ABCs. I mean, it's chilling. That is a Sting. You hear Sting's voice as he sings it. He sings it so casually and dispassionately. So as to make you, well, it really sends chills down your spine. At least the very first time I heard that way back when. I think it's 1981, 2. I don't remember when that album came out. 83. Whenever that album came out. It came out a while back. But maybe 79. But that song, Murder by Numbers, listen to that song. Anyway, I've gone way, way off the tracks here. Well, not exactly. I think Facebook's like this. I think Facebook is a fascist company. I really do think so. Intersection of corporate and government power and then all the other stuff it does. Oh, Lord. And you don't think they've got influences over these people in Congress? Yeah, I mean, go to opensecrets.org and look at all of the politicians in the House and Senate and look up how many of them take money from Facebook. You can do a quick search on this. It's very easy. You'll find out how many of them are. And then you wonder why he gets mealy-mouthed questions when he appears before the House or the Senate. It's a freaking joke, man. These people bankroll these Democrats and Republicans. Are you kidding? They take money from Zuckerberg. They take money from Google and Amazon. Are you kidding? This Citizens United decision in 2010 in the U.S. Supreme Court was one of the worst decisions of the recent era in the United Supreme Court jurisprudence. I mean, come on. I mean, Plessy versus Ferguson, Dred Scott, they're all horrible decisions. Bush v. Gore and a number of others. Terrible decisions. Terrible, terrible, terrible. You can't, I mean, and then this one, Citizens United, a horrible, absolutely deplorable decision. Oh, dear. Anyway, here now is a concluding remark. Actually, you're going to hear from two people. You're going to hear mostly from the Democratic U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal out of Connecticut, and you're going to hear a little bit from Frances Haugen, the Facebook whistleblower, the former head of the Facebook products, former director. She's really brave. I want to thank her, by the way, Frances Haugen, for doing what she did. I think it's a very brave thing to do. But I want you to listen now to, I guess it's about 2 minutes or so. You're going to hear again from Senator Blumenthal and then from Frances Haugen. Take it away, Senator Blumenthal.
I fear she'll never be the same. I'm brokenhearted. I think people tend to lose sight of the real world impact here. And I think that's the reason that you're here. I'd just like to invite you, if you have any words to those other employees at big tech, the workers who may be troubled by the misconduct or unethical conduct that they see, what you would tell them.
We live in a pattern that we have seen throughout time with regard to technologies, is that humans are very crafty people. Like we find interesting solutions, but we often get out over our skis. Right, we develop things that are of a larger scale than we really know how to handle. And what we have done in the past is when we see this happen, we take a step back and we find institutions and we find frameworks for doing these things in a safe way. We live in a moment where whistleblowers are very important because these technological systems are walled off. They are very complicated. They're things that you need to be a specialist to really understand the consequences of. And the fact that we've been having the exact same kinds of false choice discussions about what to do about Facebook, you know, is it about privacy or oversight? Is it about censorship or safety? Like the fact that we're being asked these false choices is just an illustration of what happens when the real solutions are hidden inside of companies. We need more tech employees to come forward through legitimate channels like the SEC or Congress. To make sure that the public has the information they need in order to have technologies be human-centric not computer centric.
Thank you. On that note, we'll conclude.
Thank you
for an extraordinary testimony. I think that anybody watching would be impressed and much better informed. And you've done America a real public service, I think.
Thank you.
I hope you clearly can hear that Frances Haugen did an excellent job. Now, albeit in the two clips I played, that's a sampling of what you could hear over the 3 hours that she was in D.C. on Capitol Hill. And I certainly want to again thank her for her courage and her leadership in coming forward here to expose Facebook. And we had our suspicions very strong about Facebook and how malicious and damaging they are. But the kinds of things that were shared during the 3 hours of that hearing, I didn't even play many of them, will send chills down your spine. You can watch the entire hearing on cspan.org. That's C-S as in Sam, P as in Paul, A-N as in North.org. Just simply search for Frances Haugen, FrancesHaugen, that's two separate words, or search for Facebook hearing, Facebook whistleblower. I think that might be the easiest one to search for. And you will have the entire nearly 3 hours of the hearing come up for you and can watch it all if you choose. But again, whistleblowers are a tradition in the United States, even though in popular culture the narrative is that they are despised and they are not liked, and there's rats. Ooh, we don't like rats. Ooh. You know, and that's all popular culture, and it has some seeds in real life. But these are people who do step forward and do the courageous thing and the right thing at great cost to their own lives. I mean, that's documented for many, many, on many, many occasions. So there you have it. I think that this is really important what Frances Haugen did earlier today, and she should be commended. And I just hope that she has a strong support network, all of these whistleblowers who do these kinds of things. Because, I mean, again, as I say, there's a lot of animosity out here, and people do all kinds of things. And when you're going up against a multi-billion and a trillion-dollar company like Facebook, you know that there's some very powerful people there who can really put a monkey wrench in things, to say the very least. So I hope that she is surrounded by people who really care about her, and she's surrounded by people who will really protect her as well. Now that you've heard some of what Frances Haugen had to say, the whistleblower who formerly was the product director at Facebook, what will it take for you to stop using Facebook? Thank you very much for listening to this edition of The Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore.